how was your American trip?
Enlightening. It was hard.
Yeah.
But very nice trip. And, you know, I learned a lot of things and about myself, you know. Fun, you know, played the gigs, 30 gigs.
It was basically, it consisted both South and the North America.
Yeah, it was 3 gigs in Los Angeles, and then I went to Dallas just for, you know, as a tourist, and then 23 in Mexico, and then 5 in Colombia.
So. Right. So it was basically in the North America. It had some dates in Los Angeles.
Yeah, 3 dates.
Okay.
One was some weird festival, and then one was Whiskey A Go Go, and one was what they called Backyard Show, which is okay. Kind of backyard of somebody who lives there, and then they announce it like one day before.
Okay.
It's like a garage.
Yeah.
I played in a garage, basically.
Okay.
That was like, I was like, okay, I mean, what am I doing here, basically?
Yeah. So like some, who basically arranged that? Was it like some like...
It was a local promoter from Los Angeles.
Okay. And you had basically this, was it partly with the Neil Turbin, the ex-Anthrax
guy?
He
was in the all those gigs.
All of the gigs, yes. In the South America? And,
no, he was only in the States, those Los Angeles gigs.
So how was basically the situation regarding the COVID stuff in the like South America compared to the North America
by the time? I didn't see it. It was, I mean, it was before the vaccination rule in the States came. It wasn't there yet. Came after that.
Okay.
So I just needed a test, negative test.
All right.
And in South America, you don't need anything, at least at that point.
Okay.
Colombia, Mexico, nothing.
Yeah. There were basically no restrictions to like live shows or
no, anything. Nothing at all.
Okay. But I guess they're somewhat, I don't know what kind of like their situation with regarding the hospitalization. I guess they were kind of managing it. If there was no restrictions.
They manage it in the way that they don't test people.
Yeah, but that's I mean like the like capacity regarding the hospitals. Like
it seems to be okay.
Okay.
It seems to be okay. Yeah. The thing is that when I came back, I was in this plane and there was a German couple, and I asked, like, do you have a COVID test? They said, no, this is not high risk area. I said, it is, but you just don't know it.
Okay.
Mexico is high risk area for sure. I think it's one of the worst.
Yeah. But you managed to be at least without any like issues regarding yourself and your crew.
No issues, nothing,
with.
No. Nothing at all.
That's right. Yeah, so basically why we are here is one of the reasons it's like you have this like, we're shooting a little bit of like promotional materials here for the...
live gig.
Yeah.
On Mexico City.
What was it called basically? It's
called Visions of Latin America. The venue is Circo Volador. We played there with Stratovarius many times.
Yeah. And what was basically the lineup for this one?
That's Alessandro Conti. He was in Rhapsody, the singer. Alex Landenburg, drums. He's from Camelot. He was in it's basically Symphonia, with different keyboard players. It's this Vitaly Kupri. He's he was in Art Tension, and he's in Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Right.
A Ukrainian guy.
Yeah.
And then there is Jari Kainoinen from Strato with the bass.
Yeah.
That's the lineup.
And you have some kind of like a tour in the South America.
Yeah, it's like 10 gigs. Plus then I go again alone. So I have 2 tours.
Okay, so you stay there and the other people might be going somewhere else.
Yeah, I think I go before them. I fly to Dallas now, 8th of March. That's when I go back. I have gigs in Houston and Texas, in Dallas. And then I go to Mexico, and then there's some promotional things. And I think there's going to be like 2 weeks in Brazil.
Yeah.
With local musicians again. And then probably there's going to be Uruguay, Paraguay, and whatever is not on the main tour.
Yeah.
It's basically going to be every country except Venezuela.
All right.
It's the whole continent.
Right.
Yeah.
Basically, last time when we did the podcast, we also did this collaboration. We haven't actually talked about this. How it was basically like after the podcast, kind of like you had this song.
Yeah.
Yes. Idea for the song, and the idea would be that it would be coming like also for the upcoming tour to play live with the Turbin, Neil Turbin, the ex-Anthrax guy, and then basically recorded my drums at the rehearsal studio, and then your guitars here in this studio, and basically I really like also the Neil Turbin's like a performance on that song.
He's good in that. See, that's the kind of thing that he can sing very well.
Exactly.
But the idea was then to write more songs, but then came this idea for this Latin American tour. So next year is going to be super busy anyway, because I got to write whole album of new songs for the solo record, plus then the live record and mixing it and recording it and filming it and all these things. So there's no time, and I don't think there's audience for that.
Yeah.
So for the this Turbin project.
Yeah. What were basically when we were talking last time about the like the drum sounds, for example, in that My Drum Studio, what were basically when you were mixing the drums, for example, for that song, what were basically, did you notice certain things, like which of the things in the like, you know, in the mics or whatever worked and which was basically the weakest points, and like what would be there in your opinion to improve the most to get basically most more out of the...
I think the main thing is that there's no EQ when you go in. Because that's, you know, that's difficult later to get. Other than that, it was no problems. I mean, it was the same samples always using with Strato.
Yeah, so. Right. Now, recently, when I've been doing like a couple of these like drum covers and playthroughs, it's basically now I try to put more time to like prepare, even if it takes longer time to basically get then the final takes.
Yeah.
But versus then basically just like get it kind of quite quickly done with and then edit it and then put it together, because in the end often it's just so it just is so that in the end it takes still more time to do it like in the editing room, whereas then you also maybe learn less to basically play what you're actually playing.
I mean,
so
time is I think gold in music production.
Yeah, I also saw that you met for example Jeff Scott Soto where was that, was it in Los Angeles?
Yeah, he was a really tall guy.
Yeah, big
taller
guy.
Than me, I think.
Yeah.
Big guy. And with that voice, I mean, normally all the good singers, what I know, are very short.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And he was telling me a lot of stories about those Yngwie tours. And
Yngwie times.
Yeah.
So, so where was this basically? It was some like a beach resort or where were you?
That was, I think it was Sunset Strip, some bar.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I was in a hotel on the strip.
Right. Did you run into other basically known names on the legs?
No, actually. I didn't see anybody really. I mean, last time when I was there, I met Roman Robertson, who was playing with Ronnie Dio, guitar player. Okay. And in Rainbow Bar and Grill, I mean, normally there are people, but that was like Monday, so there was really nobody there.
Yeah. You know? It's fun to basically always hear about like somebody going to this Whiskey a Go Go or then the Rainbow. And also I've been reading a lot of like these autobiographies of like Dior,
Halford,
Halford or any of these like David Ellefson and those guys. It's often like these same places where people are kind of like bumping into situations from year after year and like decade after decade.
We did go to Beverly Hills with the car to see the houses and...
Yeah.
We actually found the Aussie house where they did Osbournes.
Yeah.
Right. It was that one, but they sold it after that. So.
Yeah.
But that was the house.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny that those basically... Also, like, what I find is funny is, like, for example, some certain classic movie locations of Terminator or whatever, or, like, Lethal Weapon. Like,
Exactly.
And when you're basically yourself around there, like, they are still existing. Yeah, those, they like, are legendary places.
I was having this... like romantic longing to meet Max Martin, because I know he's there, but you know, this producer guy. Max Martin, he's a Swedish producer who did all these Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears. Okay. Martin is the biggest songwriter after Paul McCartney. And you know, Americans, this entertainment industry, they value people with money, net worth.
Yeah.
And that guy's $600 million, his net worth. Because he wrote all the hits, like all the Backstreet Boys, all the Britney Spears, Maroon 5, Celine Dion, Katy Perry, all this. Probably all the songs you know, that you know, oh, this song, it's him.
Yeah.
So I know a person who knows him. And I wanted to meet the guy because I know he lives in L.A.
Okay.
I didn't meet him, but I saw a dream.
You met him in a dream.
Yeah, I met him in a dream. He was, it's a weird dream because he was, it was this huge lake, a kind of dark, and he was sitting there waiting for me. And he just said to me that there's a treasure out there. Those were his words. And then I met the guy called Shellback, who is his engineer. He was bicycling in my dream, and he came to me and said, because I sent them my songs. I don't know if they got them ever.
Okay.
But he said, Shellback told me that, yeah, Timo, you are a really good songwriter. We've been listening to your songs. That was my dream. Yeah. I didn't meet them in person, but I know they were there. So, you know, and I heard that he's kind of, Max is like, he's doing a lot of mentorships because he didn't know that he's a producer at all. Okay. They just took him in the Stockholm and they want to try it. And that was right there somehow.
Yeah.
They became this really huge pop producer.
Right.
He had a studio called Kairon, which had 10 writers, 10 rooms, and one main studio for mixing. So guys are writing songs all the time, really working hard every day, 8 hours, laptops and writing songs. And really? Britney went there to record. Backstreet Boys went there.
All right.
So this guy made it. And the way he writes songs is really interesting because he's not stuck to any kind of style. He obviously loves the songs and he loves the music. So I like that, you know, that you don't have really boundaries, but even within pop music, you can do whatever you want, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
True. 3 minutes, 3.5, those kind of.
Yeah.
And he has this philosophy that you have to recognize the song in 3 seconds.
Mm. Yeah.
So everybody knows this Britney, do, 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 3 notes. Everybody knows what song it is.
Right.
For 3 notes. That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, that is. It is important, those are like, I guess they're called hooks or...
Yeah, he wrote It's My Life of Bon Jovi. That's the same.
Yeah.
Dun, dun. Right. It starts with that.
So. Yeah, yeah. That's a good goal at least.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he comes from the dancing, like DJ world, because they need to keep people on the dance floor. They have to know the songs.
True,
otherwise
true.
They leave.
Yeah, so. Yeah, true.
That's the philosophy.
Yeah, that is a motivation also.
Yeah, I think so.
Like basically steer towards that thing, whereas then in a little bit different motivation, for example, in progressive metal.
Yeah, I mean, whatever works, you have to go for that. But I learned from him to simplify things.
Yeah.
Even in the context of quite complicated stuff, you can simplify it in a way to make it more interesting.
Yeah.
So I actually was producing a Mexican band, which was like a really progressive.
Yeah.
And I just showed them another way to compose songs. Yeah. A little bit like what Dream Theater did with Images and Words, you know, which they simplified, obviously. But in music, there are no rules, as we talked last time. So you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's true. So you have basically also, in addition to that upcoming live show, and I guess there was basically idea to create a DVD of that live show.
Actually. Yeah, I mean, not. I don't know a DVD. I don't know which format it will be because.
Okay.
I mean,
but it will be recorded by film, basically.
Yes. Yeah. So, I don't know how many cameras, but 4 or 5, maybe.
Yeah.
And then you know make the master tape, but I probably at some form DVD as well, but streaming for sure.
Yeah. So after that, basically, then you had the plans to release a solo album.
Yes, October.
You haven't yet started writing it.
I started last summer.
Okay.
When I wrote that one song for Turbine.
Yeah.
I went to this place in Nummela, which is like a friend of mine owns this ranch, and I went to this cabin, and every day I went there with a guitar in my hand, nothing comes. Yeah. So it's a block, and because I think I'm writing two things at the same time, which is a musical, and I call it Max Martin Star Wars power metal record. I call it like that, because that's going to be like... very commercially melodic power metal, big sounding record.
Yeah.
This is the only thing I know. And it was not the right time. I know that from before, when it's not coming, I'm not going to push it.
Yeah.
It has to be natural.
Yeah.
So now then, you know, I mean, actually now I'm going to write one song and we're going to play it live and we're going to release it with this lineup, with this basically symphony plus this Rhapsody singer. And it can be downloaded for free.
Okay.
So that's the idea. But I have to write the song.
Yeah.
In 3 weeks.
I think the Turbine song, basically, which we did kind of like. Yeah. I think it's a really good song.
Yes.
I think you should basically consider it for the solo thing.
No, sure. It's totally different.
Okay, the style is different.
Yeah, yeah. It's all like right. Visions, Stratovarius kind of
okay.
Power metal thing. But that is like that was the idea for that project and the songs. Would be very different. You know, but that is a very different kind of song. I never wrote a song like that before. But I'm really inspired by the singer that I'm working with. So I knew the guy, I knew his voice, and I wrote the song for his voice.
Yeah, It did fit very well.
Yes, exactly.
It worked. So it would be a shame if it wouldn't see it basically.
Yeah, yeah, I think we should release it anyway because it's a good song.
Yes, I think so too. So yeah, basically, let's see. This was kind of like a quick update, like a podcast on the side of like this project which we are doing regarding the promotional stuff. And good luck with that.
Thank you. Then
for the upcoming thing with the Visions.
We can do another project. One then with the solo record. Because that's going to be interesting how that will be done.
Yeah, yeah. The way it's going to be released and how it's going
to
be
done. Yeah, I would like to do it in Finvox.
Yeah.
Like the Stutter Records.
Right.
Because that has a really magical atmosphere. And the equipment is excellent and the room is excellent. So.
Right. Right, so a lot of things in store for upcoming year.
Yeah, there's
year
a lot
well.
Of, yes, very busy year.
Yeah. We'll see how it's going to be in the end.